Jane Garvey, the administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration, was in the chair. The two aircraft that went in were American Flight 11, a 767, and United 175, also a 767, hijacked. "Jane, where's Norm?" I asked. They were frantically looking for Norman Mineta, the Secretary of Transportation, and like me, a rare holdover from the Clinton administration. At first, FAA couldn't find him. "Well, Jane, can you order the aircraft down? We're going to have to clear the airspace around Washington and New York." "We may have to do a lot more than that, Dick," she said. "I already put a hold on all takeoffs and landings in New York and Washington, but we have reports of 11 aircraft off course or out of communication, maybe hijacked." Lisa slowly whispered, "Oh, shit." All conversation had stopped in the studios on the screens. Everyone was listening. 11? I repeated. "Okay, Jane, how long will it take to get all aircraft now aloft onto the ground somewhere?" My mind flashed back to 1995, when I asked FAA to ground all flights over the Pacific because of a terrorist threat, causing chaos for days. It had taken hours then to find the Secretary of Transportation, Federico Pena. "The air traffic manager," Jane went on, "says there are 4,400 birds up now. We can cancel all takeoffs quickly, but grounding? All that are already up? Nobody's ever done that before. Don't know how long that'll take." "Jane, if you haven't found the secretary yet, are you prepared to order a national ground stop and no-fly zone?" "Yes," she said, "but it will take a while." Shortly thereafter, Mineta called in from his car, and I asked him to come directly to the Situation Room. He had two sons who were pilots for United. He did not know where they were that day. I suggested he join the vice president. Roger Cressy, my deputy, and a marathoner, had run 8 blocks from his doctor's office. Convincing the uniformed Secret Service guards to let him back into the compound, Roger pressed through to the Situation Room. I was relieved to see him. I turned to General Dick Myers on the Pentagon screen. "I assume NORAD has scrambled fighters and AWACS? How many? Where?" "Not a pretty picture." Myers, himself a fighter pilot, knew that the days when we had scores of fighters on strip alert had ended with the Cold War. "We're in the middle of a vigilant warrior, a NORAD exercise. But Otis has launched 2 birds toward New York. Langley is trying to get 2 up now. The AWACS are a tinker and not on alert." Otis was an Air National Guard base on Cape Cod. Langley Air Force Base was outside of Norfolk, Virginia. Tinker Air Force Base, home of all America's flying radar stations, was in Oklahoma. "Okay," I said, "how long to CAP over D.C.?" CAP, Combat Air Patrol, was something we were used to placing over Iraq, not over our nation's capital. "Fast as we can. 15 minutes? Myers asked, looking at the generals and colonels around him. It was now 9:28. I thought about the 1998 simultaneous attacks on the American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. There was the possibility now of multiple simultaneous attacks in several countries. "State, state, DOD, DOD. We have to assume there'll be simultaneous attacks on us overseas. We need to close the embassies. Move DOD bases to combat ThreatCon." The television screen in the upper left was running CNN on mute. Noticing the president coming on, Lisa turned on the volume, and the crisis conference halted to listen as Bush said, "An apparent terrorist attack on our country." During the pause, I noticed that Brian Stafford, director of Secret Service, was now in the room. He pulled me aside. "We got to get him out of there to someplace safe and secret. I've stashed FLOTUS." FLOTUS was White House speak for Mrs. Bush, First Lady of the United States, now in a heavily guarded, unmarked building in Washington. Stafford had been President Clinton's bodyguard, led the presidential protection detail. Everyone knew that despite his Elvis hairstyle, Stafford was solid and serious. He told presidents what to do, politely and in a soft southern drawl, but in a way that left little room for discussion.